May Mancini sidled up to the Studebaker and put her hand sideways on the crank. She had started the thing 100 times before, but she still heard Edwin's words whenever she grabbed onto the handle. "Leave your thumb out. If you don't, the crank can fly back and take your thumb right off." She churned with a fury now, but no sputter came from beneath the car's hood. Crunching across old snow to the driver's side, she checked the throttle and ignition, then returned to the handle and cranked again. Still nothing. A few teasing snowflakes floated under her hat rim and onto her face. She studied the sky, then set out from her house on foot toward the library. It was a bitterly cold end-of-March day, and Chicago Avenue was a river of frozen slush. Mema navigated her way through steaming horse droppings, the hem of her black coat lifted high. 3 blocks west, at Oak Park Avenue, she leaped onto the wooden sidewalk and hurried south as the wet snow grew dense. By the time she reached the library, her toes were frozen stumps, and her coat was nearly white. She raced up the steps, then stopped at the door of the lecture hall to catch her breath. Inside, a crowd of women listened intently as the president of the 19th Century Woman's Club read her introduction. "Is there a woman among us who is not confronted, almost daily, by some choice regarding how to ornament her home?" The president looked over her spectacles at the audience. "Or, dare I say, herself?" Still panting, Mema slipped into a seat in the last row and flung off her coat. All around her, the faint smell of camphor fumes wafted from wet furs slung across chair backs. "Our guest speaker today needs no introduction." Mema was aware then of a hush spreading from the back rows forward as a figure, his black cape whipping like a sail, dashed up the middle aisle. She saw him toss the cape first, then his wide-brimmed hat onto a chair beside the lectern. "Modern ornamentation is a burlesque of the beautiful, as pitiful as it is costly." Frank Lloyd Wright's voice echoed through the cavernous hall. Mema craned her neck, trying to see around and above the hats in front of her that bobbed like cakes on platters. Impulsively, she stuffed her coat beneath her bottom to get a better view. "The measure of a man's culture is the measure of his appreciation," he said. "We are ourselves what we appreciate, and no more." She could see that there was something different about him. His hair was shorter. Had he lost weight? She studied the narrow, belted waist of his Norfolk jacket. No, he looked healthy, as always. His eyes were merry in his grave, boyish face. "We are living today encrusted with dead things," he was saying, "forms from which the soul is gone. And we are devoted to them, trying to get joy out of them, trying to believe them still potent." Frank stepped down from the platform and stood close to the front row. His hands were open and moving now, his voice so gentle he might have been speaking to a crowd of children. She knew the message so well. He had spoken nearly the same words to her when she first met him at his studio. "Ornament is not about prettifying the outside of something," he was saying. "It should possess fitness, proportion, harmony, the result of all of which is repose." The word repose floated in the air as Frank looked around at the women. He seemed to be taking measure of them, as a preacher might. "Birds and flowers on hats," he continued. Mema felt a kind of guilty pleasure when she realized that he was pressing on with the point. He was going to punish them for their bad taste before he saved them. Her eyes darted around at the plumes and bows bobbing in front of her, then rested on one ersatz bluebird clinging to a hatband. She leaned sideways, trying to see the faces of the women in front of her. She heard Frank say imitation and counterfeit before silence fell once again. A radiator rattled. Someone coughed. Then a pair of hands began clapping, and in a moment 100 others joined in until applause thundered against the walls. Mema choked back a laugh. Frank Lloyd Wright was converting them, almost to the woman, before her very eyes. For all she knew, 5 minutes ago they could just as well have booed. Now the room had the feeling of a revival tent. They were getting his religion, throwing away their crutches. Every one of them thought his disparaging remarks were aimed at someone else. She imagined the women racing home to strip their overstuffed armchairs of antimacassars and to fill vases with whatever dead weeds they could find still poking up through the snow. Mema stood. She moved slowly as she bundled up in her coat, slid on the tight kid gloves, tucked strands of wavy dark hair under her damp felt hat. She had a clear view of Frank beaming at the audience. She lingered there in the last row, blood pulsing in her neck, all the while watching his eyes, watching to see if they would meet hers. She smiled broadly and thought she saw a glimmer of recognition, a softening around his mouth, but the next moment doubted she had seen it at all.